For the Women's Magazine at 94.1 KPFA, I'm Kate Raphael. When most of us think about dangerous jobs, we don't think about nail salons or hair salons. But in a recent article in The Nation, The High Price of Beauty, Virginia Soul Smith exposes the hazards of working in beauty salons. Virginia is on the phone with me to talk about this issue, and also Connie Nguyen, who is a salon worker and also active with the Asian Law Caucus and the California Healthy Nail Salons Collaborative. So Connie, I'm going to start with you, and can you tell us when and how you found out that this work could be hazardous to your health?
I cut a pearl from here and there, but it's not the right information that I wanted to hear, and I always have the concern about my health condition. I have some redness and some flakiness on my facial skin from time to time, and I have some dizziness when I was at the salon. Co-workers and owners told me that it might be my only imagination. One time when I was at my cousin's salon in Oakland, I happened to meet with Lynn from Asian Law Caucus during her outreach, and I was curious and sat down and talked to her about all my concerns. And from that point, I started getting involved with the work at Asian Law Caucus, and then to get more involved with California Healthy Nail Salon in Oakland.
So tell me about your work with the Collaborative and the Asian Law Caucus.
My first experience with Asian Law Caucus, when they sent me to Sacramento, it was only for me to listen to what the process in Sacramento.
And this was at the state legislature in Sacramento?
Yes. And when I heard the question, whoever wanted to speak, I just got in the line and waiting for my turn. I was not prepared at all.
When it was your turn to speak, what did you tell the state legislature?
I talked about the booming of the nail industry in California and across the nation, and the need of the language access for the workers because they have the English barrier and the health issues. I did not have any paper, no data, and not any instruction. While I was waiting in the line, my thought of growing up in the communist country in Vietnam haunted me. I was sweating. I did feel dizzy. There is no such thing as freely speaking your mind in any public place. I wanted to leave the line thinking of that. And I looked around the room to see if any police task force is in the room. I did not see any. When it was my turn to speak, I raised my voice with all my inner strength. Surprisingly, for the first few seconds, I would sense that the whole room listened to what I said. They were extremely quiet, so I had that few seconds of my own. It was a wonderful feeling.
Virginia, how did you get involved in this issue?
I write for women's magazines primarily, and I was working on a story. I do have a background covering environmental health issues. And I was working on a story about whether nail polish was safe for pregnant women to use from the consumer point of view for a women's magazine. And I started learning about some of the different toxic chemicals that are in nail polish. And the bottom line on the research seemed to be that, okay, the occasional pedicure for a pregnant woman probably isn't going to cause very many serious problems. But that's for the consumer who's spending 20 minutes in a salon every few months or something like that. And it just kind of dawned on me, what about the women who are in there day in, day out? I know from frequenting salons myself, you see women who've, you know, they're working very long shifts. They're surrounded by that stuff. Anyone who goes into a salon, you can smell the chemicals right away. So I just started to wonder what was going on with that. And I did some digging, and I came across a handful of very small studies that have just sort of, the research really is just starting to take off, but they're definitely finding things in terms of memory problems, in terms of occupational asthma rates, skin rashes, a variety of different symptoms. And then I came into contact with the Asian Law Caucus, which is doing this amazing outreach work into salons in the San Francisco Bay Area, which Connie's been involved with.
One of the statistics that you give in your article is that the number of nail technicians has jumped more than 300%, almost 400% in the past 10 years.
Right.
And with 96% of the workers being women, and here in California, 80% are Vietnamese. So can one of you or both of you explain why this explosion of nail salons in particular, and why is it sort of, at least in California, uniquely a Vietnamese industry?
Definitely the growth of the nail salons industry seems to be very directly tied to the influx of Vietnamese immigrants. The growth kind of started around the same time. And one story that I came across in my research that's a little bit odd, but about 15 years ago or so, when the nail salons industry had not really taken off at all, Tippi Hedren, the actress who was in the Alfred Hitchcock film, The Birds, she was doing some volunteer work with a community of Vietnamese refugees and realized that the women would need a job skill that would be useful for them, and had her personal manicurist come and teach them how to do nails. And that's sort of the, like, it may be part urban legend, it may not be the concrete reason, but it's just sort of an odd story that I heard. Overall, this isn't a job that requires very little training. It varies state by state, but some states require as little as 100 hours. Sometimes it's like 600 hours. It's something you can become certified to do in a matter of weeks. Some of the schools can be quite costly, but they're not as expensive as going to a full college, obviously. And you don't need to speak a lot of English to do it. So for women who are coming over, who that language is a barrier, this is definitely an industry they can get into. And I think once it sort of took off, there's a lot of family members coming over and working in salons and getting referrals that way, which Connie can definitely speak more to.
Connie, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, you talked to me about that you feel it's something of a mistake to focus just on nail salons, because most salons are not nails only, but most women are working in salons where there's also hair dyes being used and other products. Can you talk about that a little?
When a lot of professionals, when they look into industry, they thinking of the nail salon worker is only, but actually inside the Vietnamese typical salon, we have hairstylists, we have facialists, we have all kind of different specialty in same salon. So all the chemical inside the salon is much extreme. On top of that, with the man haircut, all the hair particle is flying around the salon, but with your naked eye, you don't see that. Mm-hmm. It gets into the worker's lung. And I have a coworker that have a surgery. She told me that they found lots of hair particles in her lung.
I think Connie's making a really important point there, because the beauty industry in general, when you consider the products they're using, a hair dye and styling products and the skin products, when you take everything all together, the beauty industry is actually using more than 10,000 chemicals in its products. And of those chemicals, 89% have never been evaluated for safety.
I don't think that you specified what the chemicals are that are in, especially
sure,
some of the nail products.
Yep.
And can you say a little bit more about some of the dangers for pregnant women working with these chemicals?
The Environmental Protection Agency has flagged about 20 chemicals as having potential symptoms and health effects. Solvents, things like acetone that's in the nail polish remover. This has been linked to central nervous system depression. The acrylics, the ethyl methacrylate that's used to make the acrylic nails, have been linked to a host of eye, skin, respiratory tract irritations, allergies, rashes, things of that nature. And then in the nail polish itself, there's what we call the toxic trio, which is formaldehyde, toluene, and dibutyl phthalate. Formaldehyde is known as a potential carcinogen, especially in higher prolonged doses. It causes asthma-like respiratory problems. Toluene is a solvent with the potential to cause dizziness, headaches, liver and kidney damage. And dibutyl phthalate, which you may also have heard about phthalates talked about in things like shower curtains, vinyl, anything PVC, plasticizers that are put in to make the nail polish more flexible. And not only have they been linked to eye and upper respiratory system irritation, there's also a handful of studies that are suggesting that they may be toxic to the reproductive system, specifically to developing genitalia in male baby boys.
In 2005, California passed the Safe Cosmetics Act, which is now being used as a model to try to get similar legislation in other states. Virginia, can you talk about what that legislation mandates?
The Safe Cosmetics Bill, it is a really exciting bill. It's definitely the first of its kind in the country. Our own Food and Drug Administration, compared to the European Union, I think people would be really shocked to hear the EU's banned over 1,200 chemicals or restricted their use in cosmetics and personal care products, while the FDA has only taken action on 9. So obviously we're dealing with a completely different cultural and legislative system. But what California's done that's really exciting is the Safe Cosmetics Bill, which went into effect January 1st, 2007, mandates that all personal care companies that want to sell their products in California stores are required to disclose any ingredients that may be potential carcinogens or reproductive health toxins to the state health department. So what that'll mean is that the state health department will then have much more information about the chemicals that are in these products, and then they can decide whether the products need to bear a warning label, whether they need to require the companies to do more research on them. It just generally gives us a lot more control over what is being sold there. You know, obviously the drawback is this isn't a quick fix. It will take time for the companies to get that information to the health department, for the health department to take action. So while it's a really amazing bill, there is definitely going to be a lag time before we see concrete results, I think.
So that sort of leads into the question I was going to ask you, Connie. The act was passed in 2005, and it supposedly went into effect in January of this year of 2007. Have you seen any change in your workplace or in any of the workplaces that you go into that, you know, your friends work in or other women that you talk to?
The Vietnamese workers, they don't know much about any of those. So I don't know how much it's going to impact them because of what they don't know. And being involved with the collaborative Hawaii and very active with Asian Law Caucus and the collaborative, I don't even know much about that. I wanted to know. So far, it's not reaching to that community. They don't watch the news in English too much, I think. So all the thing that I've learned from the collaborative, I think that they don't even know. The toughest thing is they don't know that they need help. We're working on an ethnic media project right now to outreach to the Vietnamese nail salon workers in the Bay Area. And we, sometime soon in November, to announce our trip to speak for this community to the legislator, especially Senator McDonough in San Francisco.
The Campaign for Safe Cosmetics has initiated a Safer Cosmetics Compact, mm-hmm. and has a pretty long list of manufacturers that have apparently removed some of the most hazardous ingredients from their cosmetics and saying now that their cosmetics are safe. And actually, some of the major companies like Avon and Revlon, which haven't signed the compact, are also claiming, of course, that their cosmetics are safe and natural. How safe are safe cosmetics?
Well, it really depends. And unfortunately, at this point, a lot of it is on the consumer to do a lot of homework. So over 600 companies have signed the compact, and I think that definitely is a good indicator. The companies that have signed on are making a lot of important steps. However, there are all these other ones, as you mentioned, Revlon, Aveda, companies, you know, companies like Aveda or The Body Shop, which we think of as being very green and natural and doing everything right, where they're not willing to make an official statement that they're doing this. And they have a lot of leeway where they can use terms like organic or green or natural or hypoallergenic. And those actually don't really mean anything because there's no official government definition.
Some people would argue that acrylic nails or fancy nail decorations or to dye your hair is not exactly a basic human need. So for the health of both the women using it and the women doing the work, why not just eliminate this industry altogether? What do you think about that?
I think that absolutely is not the solution. Number one, that would leave an awful lot of women out of jobs, which I don't think anyone wants. I think that telling people to skip nail salons altogether, don't dye your hair, I think it's not realistic anyway. I think it's not something consumers want to hear, and I don't think it would necessarily serve the greater good.
Connie, did you want to say anything about that?
The industry has its bad and its good, and I believe that the industry here to stay. We're trying to do our best at the collaborative to raise awareness to the Vietnamese community who do nails and in the beauty industry in general. I did give a speech in Vietnamese at the first of its kind in the Vietnamese Nail Salon Forum in San Jose, directly to the Vietnamese nail salon workers and owners. I listened and responded to their concerns in Vietnamese. Santa Clara County is the second largest the amount of nail salon worker.
In the country?
Yes, the highest, I believe, from my knowledge, is in Orange County. In Alameda County, I believe it's more numbers of low-end salons who really need help. So the work and the challenge for the collaborative is very, very, very big.
I've been talking to Virginia Soule Smith, whose article, The High Price of Beauty, was published in the October 8th, 2007 issue of The Nation magazine and can be found at their website, www.thenation.com. And Connie Nguyen, a nail salon worker in Oakland, California, and an activist with the Asian Law Caucus and the California Healthy Nail Salons Collaborative. Thanks, both of you, so much for educating us about this really important and pretty invisible and unknown issue.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you.
For KPFA Women's Magazine, I'm Kate Raphael.